You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for you, if you will walk before me, as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of my kingdom according to as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, there shall not fail you as a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them.
Can I get an amen, or this is the word of the Lord? Sure, of course. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's start with the good. If you don't know the context here, President Trump last night participated in the approximately week-long reading of the whole Bible. If you have a whole bunch of different volunteers get together to read the Bible, it takes about a week, depending on how fast or slow they read it, you know, how well or how poorly. But yeah, about 500 different people have been doing this. President Trump, 2 Chronicles 7, version King James-ish. It was supposed to be the King James. It was not quite the King James. There's no these in the way he said it, and there was a couple of times where, you know, words didn't quite match up with the text. So I'm not sure if he was reading from a translation that I just wasn't familiar with, but it was supposed to be King James. So, all right, you know, let's start with the good. The good is the President of the United States read from the Bible. I mean, good, check, big, yes, wonderful. You know, some would say this is a controversial passage. Some would say this is a really uncontroversial passage. I don't know. You know, controversy is not really the point. The point is, if it's God's word, it's God's word. And If reading God's word is controversial, then the problem isn't with the reading of God's word. The problem is the fact that people don't like it. And if it's not controversial, then maybe it doesn't matter as much anyway, because it was trivial. And of course, there's not really any part of God's word that's trivial. I know you like some parts more than others, and some parts seem more poignant or potent than others, but you know, God's word is God's word. Lots of other legislators were involved in this. You know, Mike Johnson read some. I mean, Ben Carson read some. Here's Mike Johnson reading a little bit from Genesis 24, much earlier in the program, actually on Saturday rather than last night. It takes a couple days to get all the way through the Old Testament. Once you get to the New Testament, it's quick sailing, you know. You've done three-quarters of the work already. Plus, it's more familiar to a lot of people.
And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you send me good speed this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water.
All right, I'm not going to have Mike Johnson play more. I'm not going to play more of the reading of the Bible. Some observations. President Trump is not a particularly good dramatic reader. He read the Bible. The president reading the Bible, that's a good thing. I did not get the sense that he had practiced his passage. It doesn't seem like he's particularly familiar with it from the way he read it. You know, the way you read something that you know and are familiar with and are bringing to life is different from the way you read something that you're kind of seeing for the first time or even for the second or third time. I know a lot of people like to have speculative discussions about, you know, what is the degree of the president's commitment to Christianity, if any? What degree of familiarity with the Bible, if any, does he have? I mean, he's, you know, produced the Trump Bible, so obviously he knows it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that inference is strong. I was thrown off a little bit by some of his unique inflection or pronunciation, his rhythm. He kind of read it Trump style. It also, you know, it wasn't a, it looked like it was a cut from several readings. It didn't look, because the video, if you watched it, it goes back and forth from a front shot to a three-quarter front shot a lot. And there's no good reason for that. If you were going to do just a video of somebody reading a Bible passage, just kind of front shot. And if you were going to do multiple camera angles, you probably wouldn't change them as frequently as this did. And so you're left with either believing that they did it for what I've considered to be not great production value effect, sort of bad editing, or they did it because, you know, he had to read it a couple of different times and they had to cobble together an edit that didn't have as many mistakes as all the originals had in it. If you ask me to bet, I bet that's the answer. But what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean much. You know, okay. So the president wanted to put together a reading of the Bible that wouldn't have a lot of mistakes in it. I mean, that's okay. You know, as a thing. If you listen to Mike Johnson, and I did listen to him, you know, he made some mistakes, as a person reading the Bible live is likely to do. It's hard to read. It's hard to read something out loud, well, live. And King James doesn't always flow off the tongue exactly, because it's not really the language that we speak anymore, not exactly. So if the president butchered it a little bit here and there and they had to edit him a bunch to give a more seamless presentation and what they came up with was this, I mean, okay. I think the one, if I could have one thing about this, that it would have been better if he had gone and read it at the Museum of the Bible, where everybody else was reading it. If only because there's something about, I don't know, submitting yourself to the difficulty and, I mean, it's a little bit stronger, but the humiliation of, the humbling maybe is a better term, of just being one of many who are all doing it the same way in the same place continuously. There's something beautiful about that. And I know that's not exactly Trump's style, but the president read a Bible verse. You know, I mean, the presidents have read Bible verses before, but the president, I don't think any president's ever done this before, but this project is not necessarily the thing that we've done a lot of times before. So what does it all mean? Well, it's good. The president of the United States took time to put together a video where he read a piece of the Bible that everybody else also read from. It's good, right? And well, how dare he endorse Christianity? Stop. Stop. Almost every president has endorsed Christianity. Almost every, you know, calling for a day of fasting and prayer. That's not some atheistic proclamation, whether it's Washington or Lincoln or pick your president. You know, you're wanting, if that's your objection, if you're like the separation of church and state person, come on. You need to grow up. You need to think about your history a little bit better, because that's a fool's comparison or a fool's criticism that somehow this is inappropriate because the president shouldn't take a position on religion. Absolutely, the president should take a position on religion. And if you don't like his position on religion, then, you know, don't vote for him. If you think the president's not sufficiently religious, don't vote for him. If you think he's too religious, don't vote for him. Lobby your friends and neighbors. This man's not a real Christian. This man's too much of a Christian. This man's a hypocrite. Okay. That's all baked into the Electoral College and the votes that make up the Electoral College, and then we have a president, and shh, thereafter. If he's not intruding on somebody else's rights, if he's not suppressing somebody else's rights, then, you know, your picture of what a president should be, if that's your picture, doesn't fit with, which president satisfied you on this standard? You know, and if after so many presidents, you can't find one that makes your fictional notion of the separation of church and state satisfied, then, I mean, my friend, the problem is you. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits like, you know, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, payroll, you got to manage HR, all of that stuff, and you don't want to because you don't enjoy that. You know, you've been kind of handling it all along, or somebody's been doing it, but you don't love the way they've been doing it, or you kind of just wonder, could it be done better, cheaper, both? Is that possible? Hey, that's why you call Torgerson Consulting and find out. I mean, maybe it can. Maybe what you got right now is the best you can do. I don't know. I mean, the particulars are going to matter here, right? Well, call them and find out, because they may come in, no obligation, look at what you're doing and say, hey, wonderful, you don't need us. They may come in and be like, sir, we can do a couple of things here for you. So our experience here at News Radio in Cat Country is about 5 years ago, we started using them. And we got better plans than we had before. We had choices between plans that we didn't really have before. And we got what I thought was a much more responsive customer service out of them. They have been fantastic. And so when we ask questions, particularly my wife and I, she more than I, she's the kind of person that will actually read the policies, you know, like all the fine print. And then she'll ask questions. And a lot of times, you know, insurance-y benefits types aren't necessarily detail-oriented. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Sometimes we're more like salespeople. Well, with Torgerson Consulting, she's like, they're good. They answer my questions. They get back to me. They're clear. I give them a thumbs up. And for an industrial engineer like her to approve of somebody's capabilities, it doesn't always happen. I'll just put it that way. So more than 20 years helping local businesses like yours do well. 433-9995 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Spring is here. Oh, yeah. And it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded Mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sonnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Things are changing fast and no one knows what comes next. Times like these make you realize just how important it is to be prepared. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. They're America's number one most trusted resource for survival food, solar power, water filtration systems, and more. Go to preparewithamerica.com to unlock a special offer that'll help you get ready for whatever comes our way. Go to preparewithamerica.com to see the special offer right now. That's preparewithamerica.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I believe global warming is caused by man.
And I believe it's just God hugging us closer.
I don't agree with the Bush doctrine.
And I don't know what that is.
He spends nights in California, watching the stars on the big screen.
Oh, man. I'd gone back and watched that first joint press conference sketch with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey doing Hillary Clinton and Sarah Palin from 08, and it's just so good. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the times when Saturday Night Live was good. It's not all the time. It's not always the case, but anyways, so funny. 525 on News Radio 92.3. Lots of interesting news from yesterday. Probably the big news is that PSC President Ed Meadows has announced that he is retiring in the meeting. Suddenly announced this yesterday after leading the college for a long time. You know, he led the college when it was still PJC. In fact, you know, PJC, how long have you lived here in the area?
Close to 4 years.
About 4 years. Okay, so, the transition to PJC predates me as well here, and I've been here, 12 years, I guess, now? 13? I can't do the math. It doesn't matter. 2014 we started. So, if you go drive past now PSC, because they moved to make them all from junior colleges to state colleges, then you can see at the base of the light tower, or the clock tower, I guess really is better, but, you know, the pillar in the middle on College Drive, you can see the old PJC iconography at the base of it, which is kind of, I don't know, cute. I think it's neat to be reminded of the history of things. So anyway, yesterday, Ed Meadows, who was the president of the college when it was just PJC, and now, of course, having been transitioned over to being a state college, has announced that he is retiring at the end of the year, and he's going to go do educational consulting. And I always get the meeting audio a little bit later. They don't have it available same day typically, so I'll probably get it today. So I don't want to talk too much about what he said or, you know, what other people said. I'll cover that for you tomorrow, assuming I get that audio from them, which they're usually quite good at this. But it's a sad thing, you know? And the problem is, it's not sad that a long-serving, widely admired and loved, not, he didn't do everything perfectly, of course, nobody who's the president of anything ever does, but widely admired, you know, widely loved person retires. It's always a bit sad because, you know, feel like, what's going to come next? And are they going to do better? Or are they going to do worse? How different is it going to be? And that's part of it. But that's not really the big reason that people are talking about this. The big reason is because we told you this is coming. And it was coming because DeSantis took over the board of trustees with his appointees, just like he did at UWF. And it was obvious from the start that particularly Zach Smith, who dual serves on both boards and was very involved in the transition or ouster, depending on how you want to read it. I say dethronement, the revolution, whatever, subversion of Martha Saunders. Now, she also had served for a long time, and she was of an age where she was probably considering retirement anyway. But, you know, you go in guns blazing and say that somebody's basically the creature of wokeism and the problem, and then you win, and I think that's a crappy way to run your local university. Well, we're seeing the same thing here, because he came in guns blazing and attacked a whole bunch of people, including Ed Meadows, for, you know, being either not enough in charge at the wheel or too woke at the wheel or whatever, and his participation in, you know, PBS and some of the comments that he's made. And so it just, the bad guys win again. Or, you know, with Zach Smith, the bad guy wins again, which is frustrating. And then to see somebody who's, you know, quite good on the board, who I think very much took his oath of office seriously, Andy Hobbs, get basically withdrawn by DeSantis. I mean, you know, it's ugly. And the problem when it comes to Ed Meadows is, you know, maybe he was going to retire anyway. I don't know. Maybe he was going to retire in a year. But it looks like he's retiring within the year after they packed the board with the people who won't say no to DeSantis. And that's ugly. But like I said, when Martha Saunders left and when Manny Diaz came in, is maybe we get somebody where afterwards we're like, that's even better. You know, you never know. I'll give you an example from my own life. I've had a lot of producers of my show, both back in Phoenix and here. And, you know, everyone I get attached to and everyone I think is, you know, great. And then some quit or, you know, some lose their jobs for whatever reasons. And, you know, then they're like, here's your new person. I'm like, great. And then, you know, 3 or 4 months later, I'm like, oh, man, this person's great. You know, you never know. What bothers me about this is not the prospect of a new president. What bothers me about this is the feeling that the decision was not made by a group of people who are 100% devoted to PSC and the local community and represent the wishes of even the Board of Governors, really. But instead was the decision that was largely influenced by a particular Governor DeSantis, who I have loved a lot and who I, at the moment, do not love a lot, and his people on the board, and it was forced out for that reason. There's a lot of very good people on that board. There's a lot of people I don't know on that board, and like I said, there's at least one that I know pretty well based on everything he's done and said, and I do not think he's a good influence for us. So that's what bothers me about this. But as a career, as a totality, as an influence on our community, I mean, celebrate Ed Meadows. Fantastic person, fantastic president, and we'll hope for the best for whoever replaces him.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The voters have spoken in the Commonwealth, Virginia. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
The plan that was before Virginia voters changes the states from 6 Democratic and 5 Republican House districts to a 10-to-1 split, and that new map takes effect immediately. The state's former governor, Glenn Youngkin, called the effort a power grab.
The Republican state leader, the former one, on social media urging the top court in Virginia to rule against what he calls the unconstitutional process that will disenfranchise millions of Virginians. President Trump extending the ceasefire with Iran to give Tehran time to come up with a unified proposal. But that did not stop Iran's Revolutionary Guard from firing on a total of 3 ships in the Strait of Hormuz and Pope Leo in Equatorial Guinea. And today he's visiting a notorious prison. He wants to draw attention to human rights abuses. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 63 degrees. We've got cloudy skies this morning. We'll get a full look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola State College President Dr. Ed Meadows has announced his retirement at the end of the year. He's been leading the institution for nearly 19 years now. Meadows making that announcement last night at the Board of Trustees meeting. He is the longest-serving president in PSC history and also the longest-serving college president in the entire Florida college system. The board did vote to rename the school's business building in his honor. Meadows says he plans to work as an education consultant after his retirement, says his successor will need to hit the ground running. Also out of that meeting, the University of West Florida students could be paying a higher athletic fee to help fund the school's move to D1 sports. The Board of Trustees is set to vote on raising the student athletic fee from $21 to $23 per credit hour, adding about $30 per semester for full-time students. The increase was developed with input from a committee with at least half of its members appointed by the Student Government Association. UWF says that the transition to D1 is being approached with fiscal responsibility and will not impact academic programs. A woman who killed a Fort Walton Beach man in a 2020 hit and run, then served 4 years in prison, has been deported. ICE arrested Hilda Esperanza Lopez Hernandez the day she walked out of prison and deported her April 12th. She'd been in the country illegally and had been ordered deported in 2018 after missing an immigration hearing. Well, 3 people are now behind bars after a shootout at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments. One of them never fired a shot. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says a woman that handed a gun to one of the shooters and then helped cover it up is facing serious charges.
There's a female that handed one of the guys a gun. He came back to a car she was sitting in. She handed him a gun, and he went out and started shooting. And then another guy got shot, and then she went and picked up the gun that he had, and she disposed of it. So she's got some principal to attempted murder, and then she's got destruction of evidence and a whole number of things that she's going to be charged with.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, and he says investigators believe as many as six people had firearms during that shootout, two males, and of course the one female have been arrested so far. The sheriff says more arrests are expected as that investigation continues. Well, technology is coming for beach safety. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says there's some hands-on training coming.
Beach safety getting a big boost over in Destin. The state has awarded Destin Fire Rescue a rip current simulator, which will let residents learn how to escape a rip current in a controlled pool setting. This gets underway next month. Channel 3's reporting, Pensacola Beach lifeguards are not applying for the state grant. Those simulators cost about $13,000 each. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richards.
We are going to be seeing some clouds today with a 30% chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms, high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. For Thursday, partly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Friday, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 78 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got cloudy skies. It's 63 degrees, your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
Thing, too, that I love about where we live and our beaches is that they're family beaches.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7. To learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
In every emergency, before help arrives on scene, a calm, steady voice is already at work. 911 dispatchers in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are the first responders, answering calls, asking the right questions, and sending help in seconds when every moment counts. During National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, thank these unseen heroes who work around the clock to keep our Escambia and Santa Rosa County families and neighborhoods safe.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Beautiful day out. It's a perfect time, a little crisp, but I'll take it. Perfect time for us to talk with Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, we won for our category in Men Who Cook on Sunday.
I saw that.
And you were not there to enjoy it. I was missing you being around.
I was part of the Men Who Eat competition. and we won as well.
If you get fed, you won, right? Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of incidents that have taken place. Several really concerning incidents. Let's talk about the one that you were on the news last night talking about, this Channel 3. Alanda Cuffey was the victim, but this was a domestic violence shooting. Her stepfather wound up killing her, right? What happened here?
Yeah, oftentimes we talk about motive and what leads to a certain thing. And oftentimes it is a disturbance that led to a fistfight or a disturbance that led to gunfire. In this case, it was a disturbance, but it was a unique disturbance by all accounts and by the witness accounts. This was just an interaction, two people walking within their own kitchen And I guess he got offended because he wanted to pass through, or she didn't let him pass through, or something to the effect of he could have at least said, excuse me, before he walks by me. To which he went to his bedroom again, allegedly, and picked up a handgun and came back and just started firing at her four to five times, killing her. She was pronounced deceased at the scene, and he was charged with the homicide.
Mm. You know, you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, and I think every human being has what we'd call crazy fleeting thoughts or impulses or, and, you know, in a domestic situation, a lot of times your spouse or your kids or your parent, they know how to say a thing that just totally gets under your skin. And whether they know it or not, a lot of times they do. That's why they say it. But the reaction of that might fleetingly be, oh, I'm going to do something. And then, you know, the adult impulses, you know, the impulse control and ethics and character take over and you just don't do anything. And that's, but there are some people who they don't or won't stop themselves, right? And they do the most awful thing as a response of what to most people seems like a fairly minor incident.
Yeah, again, I can't comprehend why. First of all, the disagreement over it. You know, you anyone that has raised kids,
yeah,
and my two boys, where he walked too close to me, you're sitting too close to me, and he's sweaty and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and you just kind of roll your eyes and say, look, listen to what you're doing. It's crazy. But in this particular incident, apparently he had no control of that you would expect him to have. So honestly, I have no sympathy for him. Mm-hmm. You took a life for something completely meaningless, and you're going to jail. You'll answer for it, and we can go from there.
We had a couple of other incidents. Now at the jail, the Escambia County Corrections, you had a couple of officers wound up getting charged for basically beating one of the inmates for another, seems like a fairly small thing. You can't beat the inmates anyway, but Sharif Hale and Larry Martin are the ones who have been arrested for this, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, our investigators got a call. As you know, the jail doesn't work for the sheriff's office, so it's a separate entity.
And that's still unusual in Florida, right? Most counties, the jail is under the sheriff's domain.
It is not the norm. That is correct.
Okay.
But anyways, the Board of County Commissioners run the jail, and one of the lieutenants saw what they felt like was a little discrepancy in some reporting, and why would they go into the cell? Apparently, they have rules that they cannot go into a cell after a certain time. You know, without the lights on or whatever the rules are. But so they violated this, and two corrections officers went in there and by all accounts to teach him a lesson. And then they battered him rather severely, and then they left, and they came back into the cell to clean up the blood. And I, as I understand, even clean up a piece of the tooth that was knocked out. But this particular inmate, and I don't know the inmate's name. I don't know what his charges were. All I know is that the two corrections officers cannot do what they've done, and our investigators determined that they committed a crime, a felony, mm-hmm. felony battery based upon the situation, and we submitted an affidavit to the judge, and they were arrested for it.
So. Mm. It's just, you know, we sometimes talk about you know, cops who do bad things, COs who do bad things. That has to be cleaned up because, you know, the whole, as you always talk about, professionalism, integrity, service, you know, that's the motto for every law enforcement agency from beginning to end. And look, I know being a CO is a hard job, but, you know, you have rules.
And, well, you know, and I was a CO.
And you were so a CO, yeah, right? That was your first job. Yeah. So,
and again, it's unacceptable, and there's got to be a level of accountability. And again, they did reach out to us. They did call us, and I'm not sure where they are with regards to their employment. All I can tell you is they are charged with felonies. And they're being held accountable.
We had a shooting that took place a little while back on Booker Lane in Cantonment, and you guys had been searching for Devon Williamson, and you found him for this shooting, but you didn't find him here in Florida.
No. You know, we had been looking for him. We had put him on our Facebook platforms, our social media platforms. We had placed him on our billboards because we really wanted we knew who it was. We believe we knew who it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was a warrant, an active homicide warrant for him. We also felt like he had left town. And so our investigator, I mentioned it a couple times, but John Little is the investigator. Man, he does a good job. Our entire team, our homicide team, does a jam-up job. But they don't forget, right? And so he's continuously looking for where this guy might be, following up on all the leads. And we put him on Crime Stoppers and everything else. Lo and behold, he is discovered, or we believe he is in Phoenix, Arizona, and we also believe that he is at the bus stop. He has reason to believe he was going to try to get a catch a bus somewhere.
Hmm.
So we contacted the U.S. our Marshals Task Force people, which were part of that network, and they send him. And sure enough, he's at the bus stop, and he has cut off his dreads, and he is armed with a firearm and a ticket to El Paso. So the thought there so was
leaving,
was trying to leave the country eventually, but he didn't get that far. He is under arrest, and we are making plans as of yesterday for a couple of our warrants deputies to go and pick him up and fly his butt back to Escambia County.
And did I thought I heard one report that the dreadlocks weren't just cut off, but he was carrying them or something. Does that?
Yeah, the people over there in Arizona, they sent us a couple of pictures because, again, they're glad to get a murderer.
Yeah.
They're glad to catch him at a bus stop. There's something, you know, makes you feel good about being a law enforcement officer, catching someone when they're trying to flee.
You're right.
At a bus stop.
Right.
In my mind, over the last couple of weeks at least, he's been out, you know, running from the law, changed his appearance. Mm-hmm. You know, you assume he's going by a fake name, doing everything he can. And this, so when we catch him, they take a couple pictures. Is this your guy? Yeah, that's our guy. He looks a little different. I held up two pictures on a video we did. But also the picture of the dreads that were still in the bag. I mean, I don't know if you want to change your appearance, don't
for like keep his the stuff future baby book or something, right?
Yeah, kinda... you know, if you wear glasses and you don't want to be known as a person with glasses, don't carry the glasses with either.
Here's my five cases of glasses on my hip. Yeah,
and then he had a gun, you know, which surprised no one that a murderer would also carry a gun when you're on the line.
We had the attempted homicide, the double shooting at Oakwood Terrace, or you know, Truman Arms Apartments. A couple weeks ago, a week or two ago, and, you know, you had said you were looking for people, and you found three people, right?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about, we had some people, you know, we felt we had some interest in regarding to the shootings themselves, and we were working with witnesses, and we were working with some video that we were able to gather, and while the people weren't necessarily, the victims of the shootings weren't necessarily talking to us, we, again, our investigators did a really good job of piecing this, what is going to end up being a very complicated ordeal. But we ended up arresting three people. All three of them were arrested for attempted murder because they're trying to kill each other. Although we believe there were as many as six people with firearms or long guns at the time. And their investigation continues, and we believe that we will we have a lot of confidence that we will make more arrests in this case. Now, the female, we arrested two males and a female. There's ultimately three.
Okay.
I think the news initially just said two, but there's three people.
Okay.
That were arrested. There was a female that handed one of the guys a gun. He came back to the car she was sitting in. She handed him a gun, and he went out and started shooting. And then another guy got shot, and then she went and picked up the gun that he had, and then she disposed of it. So she's got some principal to attempted murder, and then she's got destruction of evidence and a whole number of things that that she's going to be charged with. In addition to this, again, this attempted homicide. So,
and you said there's other people that you're still arrests. Looking for, and this was basically a back and forth. I mean, this is like a shootout, you know, between folks.
Yeah, right there in the middle of Oakland
an apartment
Terrace.
Complex.
And there, and again, there is video. We're still working through the video, so it's not yet been made public. But we're trying to identify a couple more people that we think were involved. Some had guns, and some didn't have guns. And then we'll probably end up putting this whole thing out. So this is how it happened.
We also had a little bit lighter story, but still, you know, sort of amazing. You had a guy who, as I understand it, he was breaking into the Carson Pawn Shop on Pace, but your deputies found him where?
Well, we found him ultimately on the roof. And again, he's trying to break in. We get to recall that there's a burglary in progress. And, you know, if you're a law enforcement officer, you get a burglary in progress, and you're going.
You're ready.
This is why we do the job. And we end up finding this Willie Wilson. But he's on the roof, and he realizes he's kind of stuck, right? And so he's wandering around up on the roof, breaking windows. And with assistance of the firefighters, fire department, Escambia County Fire and Rescue, were able to access the roof as well. So I got deputies up on the roof. He's up on the roof, which is apparently a pretty small area, and he's walking around the edge. So now what are we going to do? Are we going to tackle him on the edge of the roof?
Yeah.
We're going to tase him on the edge of the roof, and he picked up a piece of metal, and now he's using it as a makeshift weapon. So our deputies, again, did a jam-up job. They waited until he was in the middle of that roof area, tased him, he fell into a safe area, and then we obviously cuffed him, and with the assistance, again, of Escambia County Fire Department. We were able to get him down, and he is being being charged as well. So I know that I sometimes we have a healthy back and forth with the firefighters.
Yep, yep.
But I would tell you what, on a day-to-day basis, on hour-to-hour basis, we work so well together on traffic crashes, and we work help them with traffic when they're fighting fires. And they help us, obviously, in cases like this whenever we need it. So, our hat goes off to Escambia County Fire and Rescue. We really appreciate it.
Well, I just think it's amazing. Like, you have ladder trucks and pumper trucks and, engines. And then you got the squad vehicle. Squad's got all of the rescue equipment, all the specialized gear to
all
get
cool
people
stuff.
Out. Yeah, all the odds and ends that you need for the various tasks. And I just don't think there's a tool on the squad for how do you, detain a guy on the roof of the pawn shop who's resisting arrest near the edge of the roof? They just don't have that equipment, but they had enough to help you get up there.
Well, yeah, and I do some follow-up. I'm not sure if it was the ladder.
Yeah, right.
They probably won't let us on the ladder.
I know.
But maybe it's a bucket. I'm not sure exactly what.
Whatever they helped.
But, thanks.
Yeah, right. Okay, so what's killing me on this is, was he going or coming? Was he had already gone inside, or was this like him trying to get in? Or
I think he
heard the sirens and...
You know, it's hard to put ourselves in the mindset of a criminal.
Well, you got to think like a criminal, sir.
Well, I mean, or you just catch him in the act and don't have to worry about why.
Right.
But we got to him and we arrested him. And I don't know. Did he try to get in? But he was breaking windows. He tried to do the roof job. Who knows?
Okay. All right. You had a Walgreens knife robbery. Is that right? A robbery with a knife? This is like yesterday, today?
Well, this one the 19th. So
okay,
it was
a little
yesterday.
Bit.
So, yeah, we got a I saw it on social media that why is all these sheriff's cars around this Walgreens?
Yeah.
Well, it's because some knucklehead decided to go into Walgreens with a knife and rob them and then take off. Well, we did a pretty good job of perimeter. We had our drone up. We had our canines up. Weren't able to initially find him, but, again, our detectives, but and even our patrol deputies, our uniformed patrol deputies don't give up, and they were able to identify him and
there you go.
Cuffs on him. He's in jail. So I can only envision him in the cell with the pawn shop burglar and down the hall from the guy that shot his stepdaughter.
And goodness. Do you flock cameras have been talked about quite a bit. Any of these cases that were helped solve by any of that kind of technology, the camera technology that you know of?
Yes. I know that.
Somebody asked me about the Phoenix case, if that was, if Flock helped with that. But
yeah, I'm not quite ready to talk about all the things that we do, but I can't. Flock cameras, but there's some other technologies that we're able to use.
Okay.
With our partnerships with the federal authorities. But I can tell you that the Flock cameras do help us. When this Oakwood terrorist shooting, we certainly look at the cameras, the license plate readers. There's some differences. Not all the cameras we have are Flock cameras.
Sure.
Everyone, Flock catches some heat in some environments. But not necessarily here in Escambia County because...
Like they're infrared?
Well, no.
Or it catches criticism?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
It catches some verbal heat.
Yeah, gotcha. All right.
For that sort of thing. But so we do use those cameras, and some of the first thing to protocol is let's see who was there, let's see if there's video, and then let's see who was driving in and out. Because the two people that were injured, both mm-hmm. were transported to the hospital. So both of them left that area. And we do have some cameras, some license plate readers in that area. So we can point out, which cars left at a certain time. And then at the hospital, they obviously have cameras as well. So we can do a pretty good job of figuring out who took someone to the hospital, how long it took them to get from here to there. Could mm-hmm. they have stopped and discarded a weapon? What was their path that they took? So again, so maybe we can go and look and see if they might have discarded a weapon outside the window. They'll try to throw it out the window, then no one will ever find it, type of thing.
But because you can reconstruct their travel route, at least a lot of times you can, you might be able to find evidence after the fact. That all makes perfect sense.
Just like we planned it.
Yeah. I don't have any time to get into it, but you did graduate, 15 new 15, from the
15
academy?
15 new deputies last night.
Brand new badges and everything.
Right.
Love
it. Yeah, we got to put the badge on first. So there's a badge pinning ceremony with someone that they love or trust, and
uh-huh.
and they'll put the pin, and then they'll raise their right hand. I'll swear them in, and the look on their face, I reminisce for me. but I did make a comment yesterday. I said, this is a pretty big deal, because there's hundreds of people there. I know
yeah.
you run out of time, but I don't really care, because it's not my station. So, and then I'd have them raise their hand, and they're giving their oath, and then they're, again, but when I got sworn in, there was one person, me and the chief, and apparently a cameraman, because there was a camera that was there as well, so... Congratulations to them. They've joined the team, and we look forward to their
look
careers.
Of joy on young Deputy Simmons' face. I would love to see that sometime.
There's more terror on my face.
So, Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us informed. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
I don't care about your timing. It's not my radio station. I love Jim. He's great. All right. Hey, if you need a new roof or you're not sure, and I know a lot of times you're not sure because what you need is maybe a repair. Well, Quality Roofing Solutions, about 95% of what they do is full roof replacements and about 5% is roof repair. But if that's all you need, then they will tell you that. And in fact, if you don't even need that, they'll tell you that too. And that's why you want to call them, because they're just going to tell you the truth. Their whole idea is let's do things in a way that people enjoy and don't kind of dread and have a good feeling about afterwards. And it's been 20 years now. They started in 2006. Brian Ward started the company, and they've done 10,000 roofs. And a 4.9 rating on Google tells the most important part of the story, that people are happy. They do the things that everybody kind of knows they're supposed to do, but not everybody just does. They know you're not experts, so they will talk to you in a way you'll understand. They won't, you know, talk down to you or go too fast for you. They'll just kind of explain it as you want to go. And then if, you know, maybe a full roof replacement is what you need as opposed to just a repair, they'll explain why even that can save you money. The wind mitigation inspection report, there's some cases where people have cut their home insurance by more than half by doing that. That's not everybody. You know, that's some cases. But, you know, whether it's residential, whether it's commercial, whatever the material that they're working on, metal, tile, shingle, stone coat, whatever the case may be, you know, they can help you with that. And they've done all kinds of things since they started to make their operation more efficient, more customer-oriented, saving you money and getting things done on a more predictable time schedule. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring in our new 2026 Subaru models, like the all-new 2026 Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 3.9% for an amazing 75 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Descent? Finance either one for 2.9% for 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek, Ascent, and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
You are beaten. It is useless to resist.
Good morning, 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. The city of Pensacola, well, the CRA, which is the Pensacola City Council operating under different hats, essentially, but the CRA being as massive as it is in the amount of money they handle downtown. Anyway, they have now rejected the Hard Rock Reverb proposal for the $58 million rebate. The reasons are actually kind of interesting. The mayor talked about it yesterday in his press conference, but the kind of the short version is they were asking the city to rebate money that the city doesn't legally have the ability to rebate. Like, it's a bigger amount than they would be able to do because of the duration of the CRA, which is, I think, 14 more years, not 20 years, which is the valuation of some of the amounts that if you know, they basically be giving back or waiving more property tax than is actually going to ever be collected, is my understanding. But it also has to do, I think, in part with some things about, like, can the city waive the school board property taxes? And, of course, they can't because the city doesn't speak for the school board. And, you know, that's a part of your property tax increase as well, your TIF as well. So, anyway, just interesting. It's not a no. It's not a we can't do this. It's a we can't do that much. And so, as the mayor said yesterday, he's not trying to, you know, kill the project. This is, you know, the questions are being raised here are just purely legal questions and not questions about whether the project is good or even what the good is for the city in exchange for the amount of the rebate, something that the mayor has said before. But we'll talk with him about that coming up this morning at 7:35. Lots of very interesting stuff, including the Department of Justice bringing an indictment against the Southern Poverty Law Center for paying Klansmen?
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. News.